Say the way it was,
the way it
is, and the way it shall be. Now, we realize that in the way it is, that is kingdom now. What can I pull from the kingdom right now? What can I live in now? What can I walk in now? How can I live supernaturally now? Do you know things can be better right now? You know, there are certain supernatural, powerful things that will happen in this realm. I tell you what, this is the realm for miracles. Up there. There ain't going to be no sick people up there. So this is the time that we'll have miracles performed. This is the time where we can see the grace of God in demonstration. Say, kingdom now. Don't you want to be a part of the kingdom of God? Now, in this kingdom, we are talking that in this, the first kingdom, that it was your testimony that God was using in the area of relationship in the time that once was. But in this now situation, in the now time, you want to pull out of all that God has for you now, you're going to need covenant relationships. Everybody say covenant relationships. Well, you know, and I'm not just talking, now thank God, of course you got a covenant with your husband and your wife, amen, but you know there's some other covenants out there you can walk in and abide in. And in this covenant relationship, it gives you power in the area of what? Agreement. Say, right now is the time when we agree and things happen. In this realm that we live in now, and in this dimension we live in right now, the force of agreement is a supernatural heavy dose. You hear what I'm saying? Flow. And if you can find people of God, men and women of God, husbands and wives, friends, you hear what I'm saying? Anybody to get into agreement with, guess what? God will do just about anything. Now listen, there were several agreements. Now listen, turn to Matthew chapter 18, verse 19. What does God want you to have relationships for? Matthew chapter 18, verse 19. God wants you to have friendships. It's nice to have friendships, to play cards with, and do all those other things, but you're missing God's best when you don't use that covenant relationship to do what it's meant to do. A friend is there to give you supernatural power so that when you agree with them, things happen. Let's get together and do something with our relationship. Let's have a relationship that's built on something that can accomplish something. We can have a good time, but also change the world as we're having a good time. So when we agree, good things happen. When we agree, God shows up. In Matthew chapter 18, verse 19, again I say unto you that if two of you shall agree where? Where? All right, right here on earth, as touching some things. As touching what? My God. That's some power, isn't it? That ought to let you know something. Say, I can do it with my friends. Can't handle it on my own, but if I get somebody of faith to agree with me, we can do anything. On earth, the power of agreement is a supernatural force. You know what? Because it's what the devil tried to do in heaven. The devil tried to get people to agree with him up there. And it caused disagreement in the heavenly. He was cast down. That spirit of strife and disunity. And they couldn't come together on anything. Well, if he supposedly was the God of this world, I tell you what holds his kingdom together? Disagreement. Strife. And all those things that would cause you not to focus yourselves together to get God's thing accomplished. If you want to see heaven on earth, guess what you got to see? You got to see that unity that was once there before that God put him out of the kingdom of heaven. Say, the power of agreement breaks the power of the devil and demonic forces. If any two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done. How? For them. It shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. In the kingdom of God and the kingdom right now, you need to find relationships in this realm where you can agree with saints. Where, you know, not just on pipe dreams. You can't agree with everything. First of all, what you agree on, you got to agree with the Word of God, and you got to agree with God. And I'm not going to get in agreement with anybody something not scriptural. It better be the Holy Ghost. I don't want everything to come to pass. I want God's plan to come to pass. When you agree on stuff that's not the right thing and not what God wants and all these other things, that will bite you in your rear end later on. But find out what the plan of God is and find somebody of faith to get into supernatural agreement with you and watch that thing manifest. Nations Church, it's the result of agreement. Do you know that? Agreement. Based out of friendship and relationship. And you got to learn that there's power in relationship. Don't come against my friends, because that's where my power is. And when you learn that same thing, I mean, we let people chop each other down. Don't you let nobody come against people that you're in covenant with. Oh, no. You're only as strong as those that you walk with. They pick you up. They pick them off. You be the next one. We can get things accomplished when we agree with one another. Praise God. Anything can happen when the saints of God agree. Certain supernatural relationships and covenant relationships that we can look at, okay? 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse 1. See, let those that aren't where you are hear your testimony, but let your friends get in agreement with you. There are certain things, new ones, can't agree completely on everything. They can only agree to what they have revelation of the Word of God on. Do you know that? There are certain prayers you just can't get, you know, people got to have a level of faith there and meet you where their faith is. How can two walk together unless they what? Unless they agree and be one. You can hang out, but you ain't going nowhere. Well, I want friendships that are walking in the light of God and relationships that are walking in the light of God. I want to go from here to there. I don't want to hang out nowhere. I want to go on with God and go from glory to glory. Well, if we're going to do that, we got to be in agreement that that's where we're going. We're going for the things of God. We're going for the grace of God. We agree on that, and things can happen. And it came to pass when he had, in 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse 1, when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. Now, you remember this morning we said that there are three things you want to nail in order to be successful in ministry, in order to be successful in life, and to get all you can get out of in church. This is what you need to do, and you'll be missing if you don't get all three of these things nailed. One, your offering is one, your ministry, and your relationships. Your ministry, what you do. What you do. Also, what you sow. Because what you sow will tell you what you are. Every tree that bears, you know, your seed is a part of your fruit. Seed comes out of fruitfulness. Many people don't have seed because a seed will come out of fruit. And if you're an unfruitful person, you're not going to have any seed. So your ministry, your offering, and the other part is your what? Your relationship. And in this area, these are certain things you need to know about. You know, that it's nothing wrong to have Holy Ghost relationships where God can get things accomplished. My friendships are from God. All of them. And Jonathan noticed, I tell you what, he saw something in this man that he knit his heart with David. And he loved him from his soul. Well, it's one thing to be spiritual brothers. That's really nice, isn't it? You know, where we just get, you know, I know a lot of people that love God just as much as I love God. I mean, they're into the flow and they want to dedicate their heart. Well, we can agree in the spirit, but let me tell you, it's better when covenant relationships can meet in the spiritual realm, but they can also not go around in that other dimension, the soulical realm, where they can relate to each other in their heads as well. There are a lot of people that love God and are called of God, amen, but their head is someplace else, and it might not be in a bad place. It's just not where I want to go. Their souls were knit. Now, were these the only two believers on earth at that time? Were they? Were these the only two people that knew God and had a relationship with God, or the only two that God was concerned about during this time? Absolutely not. Did it say that their souls were knit to the entire tribe of Israel or whatever it was? Didn't say that. But those two, their souls were knit to one another, and they had a covenant relationship, and out of that relationship, God got fruit. Yeah. Do you know that you also benefit from their relationship? Look at all, because that relationship saved David's life several times, and we got the entire book of Psalms because of a friendship. If it had not been for his friend, he would have been dead. God wants to use supernatural relationships to make good for everybody else. How do you know whether you got a relationship with God? Is it doing anything for anybody else other than you two? Supernatural relationships. And God's got them out there for you. There's somebody you can pray with. There are people out there that you need to teach to pray and mentor them. That would not be your covenant. But there are people out there that you can pray with. There are people out there that you can agree with. And there's somebody out there that's going to understand exactly where you are. Do you know that? God did never, he never sent them out one by one. If you're out there all by yourself, guess what? You're going to miss God's best. And you're not going to be as effective for the kingdom of God as he wants you to be. Paul had partners. Paul and Barnabas went out. Different. They had partners. Amen. Jesus took 12 with him. And he took 12. And here we are, John Wayne, Lone Rangers, or whatever we are out there, all by ourselves. You'll get stuck if you don't have supernatural covenant relationships that know you right where you are. They can read through all the spiritual jargon and say, honey, I know you. I know exactly what you're up to. Covenant relationships. That iron might sharpen iron. Well, people sit up here, well, I don't know anything about it. People don't get along. You know, why are we hanging out in all the world? Because we don't know what God can have for us today. There are certain prayers, some of these biblical things that we're hearing about, ask anything. Well, maybe your prayers aren't being answered. Some people say, well, I just don't have enough faith. Well, maybe you do have enough faith. Well, maybe you're missing in one of the ways that you can pray is the prayer of agreement. Maybe one of the prayers that you can pray is the prayer of agreement that might get some of these things answered, some of these things taken care of. There are certain areas and certain things, you know, in my life that they won't budge. I don't care how much faith I got. They won't budge until I get with some covenant people and say, hey, this is where I'm going. Will you get an agreement on me? And as soon as I get an agreement on that thing is answered. It's not designed for you to be by yourself. Jesus even taught it. He said, listen, if one fall, who's going to be there to pick you up? Many of you stay in a ditch so long, longer than you have to, because you don't have anybody with you. So if you're walking all by yourself, prophesying to yourself, you'll probably miss it. You'll probably miss God's best. Get into supernatural relationships and find out what God has for you. Somebody say, this is now. And that will manifest things now. Also here, 1 Samuel chapter 19, verse 2. But Jonathan, Saul's son, delighted much in David. And Jonathan told David, saying, Saul, my father, seeketh to kill me. Now, therefore, I pray thee, take heed to thyself until the morning, and abide in a secret place and hide thyself. Friends will protect. Also, in 2 Samuel, it talks about the covenant. You remember when David took care of his friend's son, covenants. Friendships mean a whole lot more than you think it is. In Proverbs chapter 17, verse 17, it says something about friends. You might hang out with a lot of people, but everybody's not your friend. So don't expect them to be. Just because they're not your friend, does it mean they're your enemy? No. Now listen, it says, a friend loveth when? Friends are a gift from God. Do you know that? You don't just meet friends. God gives you friends from heaven. Friends are from God. You didn't start it and you didn't do your own thing, but I tell you what, God did what? God gives you the relationships. And I value every relationship that I have and every friend that I have, and I honor God with it. You hear what I'm saying? Because they are from heaven. How you meet those friends. Don't take your friends lightly. Thank God for it. God puts you on the path of people, amen, and calls you to come across the best. And I tell you what, I drive the Mercedes-Benz of friends. I really do. I've got great friends. And they just keep getting better all the time. A friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. I tell you what, you got a friend, you know, they'll get ticked off, but they'll still love. But friends will stick there, amen? And I tell you what, that means a friend will always be there, even when you're in trouble and everybody's turning their back on you. A friend will cover. I tell you what, love covers what? Love covers a multitude of sin. Well, I tell you what, there are certain things that your stuff won't be covered until you get some friends. Why? Because it's a friend that loves at all times, and you won't be covered. That means friends and positive relationships. Sin is what? Missing God's mark of perfection in your life. I mean, it's like getting off course. Sin is you get way off track and way out there in la-la land someplace, and that will lead to physical sin or all different kinds of sin. But a friend will cover that sin. See, my friends aren't going to let me get too far out there. They cover me. You know, you might get away with one or two, but you won't have a multitude of them because of supernatural Holy Ghost friends. And you might not be able to see it, but your friend will. And a real friend will tell you about it. Love, a friend loveth at all times. And love covers a multitude of sins. And there are several people that have no covering from the result of sin. And the result of sin is what? It's death. When sin takes its place and roots itself in you, the end result of all sin is death. But you know what? There are some friends that will save your soul from death. There are certain blessings that God won't give to you. He'll give it to your friend. And let your friend present it to you. You'll find those things out. Friends are supernatural. The relationship of friendship, it's supernatural. Our whole thing that we have in Jesus Christ. You know, Abraham, the covenant of Abraham was based on a friendship with God. Did you know that? Abraham believed God and he became God's friend. So tell me friendships don't mean something. You're not going to go through this life friendless. First thing Jesus is going to give you, he's going to give you a friend. He'll be that friend that sticks closer than a brother. Thank God for supernatural friends, and don't let the devil steal it from you. That is the area of what? Relationship. Friends. Friendships that mean something. Friendships that can do something. And you look at your friend and you say, oh, that's what you're there for. Different people tell their friend, well, what good are you? Open your Bible and find out. That's the way it is. And that's how life is rolling right now and moving right now. Stop shifting and changing people in. I made up my mind. I'm tired of that stuff. If you're my friend, guess what? We're stuck. Because friendships are from heaven. And they are valuable. And there's nothing more precious in this realm and in this dimension than a friend. Friend, you can make it through anything with a friend. That's one thing that we've never been without. Never put your friend in the place of God, though. God will teach you a lesson. And there's nobody like Jesus. Don't make your friends God. Don't expect your friends to be God. He'll show you who they really are. Yeah. Nobody like Jesus. But get a friend and keep a friend and honor a friend. The Bible says if you want to have friends, show yourself friendly. Be one and you'll get one. You know, you want to find an unfriendly person, say, I don't have no friends. You must be a very unfriendly person. Period. God's trying to give you friends. He's trying to work it out. And be blessed. Amen. With supernatural relationships that you can start to get your prayers answered. Say, I'll never have another lonely day. Because the word of God sets me free. And look at somebody and say, hey, I'm a good friend. You don't know what you're missing. If you need a friend, I'm over here. Somebody say, my prayers get answered. I'm not a backstabber. I won't stab you in the back. And I'll punch you in the face, but I won't stab you in the back. And you'll see it coming. Glory to God. This is good stuff. I got friends I can trust with anything. Don't have to watch my wallet. They know all my business. It's okay. And they protect you and keep you safe. Well, if that flows in my life, it should flow in your life too. So that is the way it is now. So many of you are not experiencing the best that you can have in God. You think it's because you're not reading the Bible enough. Been reading the Bible for years. Wonder why things don't happen. You're not worshiping enough. You're not speaking in tongues enough. Could be you don't have a friend. Get a friend and see what happens. Try a little bit of agreement. Don't walk with a man that doesn't have a friend. Now the way it shall be. Easy thing to get the most out of life right now. The best, my assignment this week is what? Agreement and friends. Can I tell you one of the practicing things that I did? The Lord gave me a Bible devotional plan. But I separated my week. That it, you know what you sow to is what you'll reap. And I patterned out my life to certain things that were the premise. And I'm going to share these things with you. Is that okay? Maybe this might help your life. How I can balance out my life and live my life according to sowing and reaping. Well, I do this, you know. One is on Sundays is the Lord's Day. He's first on Sunday. It's worship. And that's my motivation. That's my thought process. Then, so Monday. Somebody say Monday. Monday's a very important day. Monday starts with what letter? M. Write this down. That means me. You should think about yourself one day a week. Bless yourself. Get yourself a candy bar. Comb your hair. Look in the mirror until you say, man, you all that. Think about yourself. Listen, if you're not going to think about yourself, nobody else will. Don't wait for nobody does anything for me. But what do you do for yourself? Go pick some flowers and give it to yourself. This is for you. Belle gave herself Christmas presents this year. Everybody was passing out Christmas presents, and there were several I mean, the really nice boxes. We all got a box, but she really got some nice boxes. We said, where are these boxes coming from? And she said, oh, look at this one. From bell to bell. Amen. She said, ooh, is this? And she looked, and then she picked up another box and said, y'all, you were there? She picked up another box and said, oh, look at bell. She did it again. Another one. From bell to bell. Monday. These are also things that you can pray for. These are prayer focuses. And I figured out when you pray in this area, you usually cover all the bases of prayer. You know that? If you pray, because there's always something to pray for, you know, you'd be praying forever. Praying all night long, you get tired, forget it. Focus yourself on, you know, if I got a need, I'm going to pray for it on Monday for myself. So say Tuesday. Tuesday is a very powerful day. What I do on Tuesdays, I pray for the world. Pray for evangelism. Pray for the unsaved and the lost. You know, and if you write it down, you can get a day timer and plan yourself out in this fashion. And now, this goes along with now. This is what you can do in this kingdom. This kingdom, if you're going to survive in this kingdom, you're going to have to pray. Well, on Tuesday, if somebody says, listen, I got an unsaved relative, will you pray for him? I'll say, yeah. Will I pray that night? Maybe not. I'll forget. No, I won't. But I'll write it down, and I'll hit that up on Tuesday. I'll hit it up on Tuesday, and Tuesday I'll start praying for the unsaved. I'll start praying for evangelism, and I'll pray for the lost. And I'll also sow in that area. If I'm going to witness, I'm trying to push it, you know, push it in that area. It's the day of evangelism. Say Wednesday. What I do on Wednesday, I pray for the church. I pray for the church. I pray for you. I pray that you might prosper. I don't think about people outside the church. I don't think about myself. I'm praying for you. I'm praying for those that I'm in covenant church relationships with. No, I'll pray for you. Yes, I will. Well, it's better to say, well, why would he do that? Some of y'all take prayer requests all the time. Never pray for him. Yeah, I'll pray for you. As you're walking away, help him, Lord. Bless him, Jesus. But on Wednesdays, it's usually the day. You know what you should pray? The Bible tells you to pray for those that you're in relationship with. For those of you say, pray for one another. Amen. Well, we wonder why we all get beat up and broke and sick and diseased, and we refuse to pray for one another. So on Wednesdays, when you get together to pray, when you do pray, pray for those in the body, in this house. That's Nations Church Prayer Day. Then on Thursdays, you know what? This is not the only church in the world. Thursdays, what I usually do, this is one way that you'd be blessed. Also, what day would you pray for presidents and leadership? You'd pray for that day. What day? I usually pray for them on Tuesday. The World Day. World leaders and world governments, anything. I'm sowing that out there. I intercede on Tuesdays for that. But on Thursdays is a very special day, and many people miss this. We don't think it's important, but the Bible tells us to do this. You look up as many times as God tells you to pray for things, that means that God is serious about it. Thursdays is a promises blessing to you. It's a day, I call it fivefold day. On Thursdays, I pray for the fivefold ministry, those in fivefold ministry. I pray for those full-time ministers out there, and those are days that you can also sow in those things, you know? Sow a phone call, sow a gift, or do whatever you got to do. Think about somebody else. You know, just don't pray. You can sow in those ways as well. Like on Wednesday, you praying for somebody else. Amen. You've been praying for Brother Will on Wednesday. Amen. You got his prayer request in there on Wednesday. Well, don't limit yourself. Say, hey, I'm going to pray for somebody in the church on Wednesday, and I'm going to bless somebody in the church on Wednesday. When I see them, I'm going to have a little card for them or something like that. I'm going to sow that. I'm going to sow out in that day. Well, on Thursdays, you can do it to find evangelists. Find pastors and evangelists and prophets and different things. Dalton, you got Billy Hunt. You got different ministers with your company that you work with. On that day, look at their sites. Just do, and you know, and just start to pray over. Say, this is the day when I focus on the fivefold ministry. Isn't this good? And I said all this to get to Friday. What's Friday? Friday, it starts with F, and Friday's a day of friends. Friday's a day of friends. That's the day when you think about those covenant relationships. And, well, we go to church, so we have to, you know, do that stuff around. But pray for your friends on that day. You might have some friends that are two different things with you. You got some friends that may be a friend but also be a church. There are different relationships that you have with different people. Well, on that day, think about what they are on that day. You know, when I was at Christ for Nations in Bible school, I made it a point to get with a friend on Friday. I made it a point to get out there and to I walked in this on a weekly basis. I would call a friend up. I might not have talked to them in a long time, but I don't care where they were. I'd find a friend. Somebody say, Friday. It's for friends. No matter how many, it's 52 weeks. So somebody's getting 52 something of someone or whatever it is. Think about praying for them. You know, if you just start with, you know, you might not be able to sow. And you don't have to sow money. Sow a phone call. Sow a flower. Sow a candy bar. Sow something. Let them know how special they are. Well, if we would start with prayer, it would change your heart concerning them. Thank God for your friends. And let Friday be a day of friends. You wouldn't lose anything because you took care of yourself on Monday. So many people, you know, it's nice to come to church. Come to Holy Ghost meeting. Don't miss Holy Ghost meeting. But maybe you might even want to do dinners and appointments. Breakfasts. Go out with breakfast for breakfast with a friend on Friday. Well, what did we leave out, people? What did we leave out? We got all these people that we're praying with and all these people that we're letting them know that they're special and all these people that we're loving. What did we leave out? We left out family, didn't we? Sunday belongs to the Lord. Many people miss God by trying to give Sunday to their family. Sunday is the Lord's day. Saturday is family day. Find out, like on that day, you know, it doesn't have to be the whole day, but like different families and different things. Like if you're in a family thing, think Saturday, I'm going to take Saturday. And if you got five or six kids, or if you got a mom or dad, and you say, I'm going to focus, not the whole family. They'll all get on your nerves and make you sick if you try to do the whole bunch. You'll never want to do it again. Amen. But find one family member. Pray as you're praying and say, I'm going to sow to just one family member. I'm going to let one family member know they're special. I don't have to give them the whole day. I'm going to tell one family member. I'm going to call one family member. I'm going to minister to one family member. I'm going to take one to lunch. I'm going to let them know they're special. I'm going to sow into family one day. Only. So that is what day? Saturday. And you get back to Sunday. Those are things. That's how you can, when you think about that area, that will cover just about every relationship that you have. If you're working on your job, when are you going to play for your employees and your coworkers? What day? What day would that be a good day to do that? Tuesday. Tuesday. Tuesday is when you're going to avail yourself and you're going to surrender yourself and let them know, I'm here for you that day, and make it a law. There's nothing wrong with a law that on Tuesday you're there for your coworkers. When you go to the copier, step back a second and say, wait a minute, I'm ministering to the world that day. I can't rush the people that are giving my meals that day. Amen. I'm here for them that day. I'm sowing to the world that day. I'm a witness that day. I'm here to bless the world that day. I find, and you know what, as you set yourself to this, you'll find the graces of God. You'll be able to expect the graces of God and the divine flow of God to move in that area during those days. Y'all notice, like Crystal and Jesse, if we mark out some of the things that you get out there, we go out to lunch, and I notice that there's just a supernatural divine flow. I'll go out there, and, you know, I'll find a waiter or something, not just because, oh, it's Tuesday, it's time to be spiritual for friends, or trying to be spiritual for the worldly people, but I'll notice graces. Different people, you're there for them that day. Somebody say, I'm a light in the world. I won't forget myself, nor will I forget others. What a wonderful life. And you'll find that as you live this way, you'll get more out of life. And you'll sow in so many areas that you'll be able to reap in different areas. Many people aren't reaping things from different areas and different arenas because they're not sowing anything in different arenas. They're throwing it all into one pot. Spread yourself out a little bit. Get yourself covered. Some people are so spiritual, the only thing they get some out of is religious people. Well, you should have some relationship. Come on. You should have a good report among the secular realm. The way it shall be. That's what we talk about, is the way it should be now. And you discipline yourself to live now that you can, what? Have an abundant life tomorrow in the kingdom to come. It's nothing but sowing. That's all this life is. I tell you what, thank you, Jesus. I'm glad I can be blessed and abundantly, and things are getting better for me and will get better for me. But I tell you what, every day my life is sowing. I get up in the morning, I come to church, and I work. I'm sowing. Sowing. Things that we can sow to. Sow in prayer. Get busy about that. And living a great life. Do I feel used and washed up? No, because it keeps coming back. It keeps coming back, and it'll come back to you too. If you do those things, that's the way it is now. The way it shall be. Somebody said, the kingdom to come. Many people don't ever take this seriously, but there is a kingdom to come. We're a part of the kingdom of God right now, but there is another kingdom to come, and the rules will change when the new kingdom comes. Amen. We got great rules right now. We got great benefits right now. But there's a day coming when things are going to get a lot better.
Amen.
There will be a change up. Thank God we have power over demons and all these other things. Hallelujah. We're going to be blessed and have faith for work. But there is a new kingdom coming that Jesus Christ promised us. And that's why we live the way that we're living today, for the kingdom to come. Some of the best things that you can do to prepare yourself for the kingdom to come, and as I was praying, and we got those areas. One is, Jesus is coming tomorrow. You've got to believe that. You live today like Jesus is coming tomorrow. That's the only way you'll prepare yourself for the kingdom to come. Jesus is coming. And you have to tell yourself those things. The Bible, the New Testament saints, they encourage one another with that one thing. Jesus is coming. They said, don't ever forget that Jesus is coming. And they would pray for it. They would pray. The early saints, there was one prayer in the Bible that said, come quickly, Lord. Jesus is coming. Are you ready? Are you prepared? Don't be one of them dummies that go on vacation with no money. Jesus taught the same thing. Jesus taught the same thing. Say, I will not be a window shopper in the kingdom to come. Study your own Bible and find out if that's crazy or if that's the truth. Now listen, one relationship that is crucial to prepare you for the kingdom to come. What do you think it is? You should always have someone that you're sowing to, those with your testimony and helping them along the way because you've been where they've been and now you want to help them out of it. Then you got that peer relationship, that friend. You know, then you got your friend. But then there's another relationship that everybody should have, these three relationships. The friend that you're ministering to and helping and sowing to it. Then you should have a relationship of a mentor. Somebody that's been where you want to go and is getting there. And that relationship will prepare you for the kingdom to come. How do you find out whether, you know, a good relation to get with is someone that sees beyond where you see and say, hey, we're going to get you ready. I say, we're going to work you out. It's like a trainer, that there's a kingdom to come, and I want to get you ready for that kingdom to come. And in this relationship, discipleship prepares you for the kingdom to come. Discipleship prepares you for the kingdom to come. And many times you get into a relationship and somebody's talking about all this stuff. They ain't going, what they going to do for me now? Sometimes it'll do something for you now. But usually a strong relationship, a strong mentor's relationship, a good one, they're going to prepare you for the kingdom to come. It says one thing in the Bible in Matthew chapter 10, verse 24. How can you get along with tomorrow, the kingdom to come? One, it says the disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. That's talking about discipleship, right? Well, you got to realize that there are certain super people say, hey, we all the same. Oh, no, we're not. We're all the same in Jesus Christ. But there are different graces. There are different administrations. There are different revelations. Why would I want to get up under somebody that knows the same thing I know? They ain't going to help me. Let me find somebody that knows something I don't know. Somebody that's out there beyond where I'm out. Misery loves company. I don't need company. I need somebody that sees beyond what I can see, can get what I can't get, and tell me how to get it. Many people miss it. That would be a miserable life. You can't find, I mean, you got a real serious problem. You can't find anybody to know any more than you do. You will never be able to pull on a relationship or nor be completely prepared for the kingdom to come unless you get this into your spirit. This disciple is not above. And that word above, it means they don't exceed. It says exceedingly abundantly. You got to realize that within that relationship, there's a wisdom and a revelation. First of all, you don't choose them, God gives them. You don't choose them, God gives them. And God places these relationships in your life. And I tell you what, when he puts that person in your life, within that life of that individual or that person, there's a reservoir of information, of knowledge, of insights that will help you along the way. Matthew chapter 10, verse 25. You know the only way to get a double portion of anointing is by that relationship. Everybody talking about, come over here, let me lay my hands on you, and you'll get a double portion of anointing. Double portion anointing never came that way once. A double portion anointing never came that way once. You know, the way to get a double portion anointing, listen, a disciple is never above his master, but when that person is going on, that person should flow in a stronger anointing. Why? Because they're picking up the torch of that individual, plus the anointing for their own life. That's the double portion anointing. You know, when I was created, when I was born, God gave me an assignment, and he gave me the anointing to fulfill that assignment. Well, and those that I minister with and those that I serve, when they kick it and they go on, guess what? I'm going to take that thing. I'm not going to let their ministry die when they're gone. I'll pick it up. I'll take their portion. And then plus, I have my own portion. Notice Elisha and Elijah. Elisha, why was he was much more powerful than Elisha? Was much more powerful than Elijah because he picked up the mantle and the anointing of Elijah, plus he had his own. That's the double portion anointing. We got a lot of preachers and a lot of things in here. I'm going to tell you one thing. My pastor told us back there, Dr. Howard told us, God got up there and preached one night. He finally got his trial message to preach. They had trial messages where you get up there to preach, and he went up there and he preached the house down. He preached the house down, and man, he was feeling really good because he preached the house down. You know, he were falling out all over the place. But I just happened to be in the office after the service, and the guy said, didn't I preach it down? And you can tell he was feeling, I preached better than you did. I did better than you did. And pastor said, you should have. You should have. You had 3 years to sit there and watch and learn. If you're going to preach one message after waiting for 3 years to preach, it should have been the best message you could ever preach. It should have knocked the house down. He said, I would have had problems if you didn't knock the house down. So when your time comes, certainly you should tear the house up. There should be an anointing about you, an anointing on you. You all rested up. It should carry on. It is enough for the disciple to be as his master and the servant as his Lord. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of his household? Hey, if they talk about me, they're going to talk about you. So be blessed anyhow and go on and do what God wants you to do. Guess what? Before they talked about me, not one of them paid my bills. And guess what? After they talk about me, they're still not writing me any checks. Guess what? I don't have to write them any checks either. I don't owe them anything. They don't owe me anything, so don't worry about it. You just go on and do what God wants you to do. If God's before you, who can be against you anyhow? You stand strong in the Lord and the power of his might and be strong and prepare yourself for the kingdom to come. So say, I will be ready for the kingdom to come. For Jesus is coming tomorrow. Thank God for yesterday that my test has been turned into a testimony. Thank God for today, for the relationships that are in my life today. Forget about the people that stabbed you in the back and hurt you last year. Thank God for your relationships today, that we can agree with people today. Thank God that you got those things. And thank God that tomorrow you will be ready and for the kingdom to come. You're not going to go up into heaven, bro, but you'll have much fruit, and you're not going to go up there by yourself and say, look, this is the result of my labor on the earth. Look at all these souls that came by. Look at what God has done. Look at what God has done. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, teach us to value our days. Think us to value our days, Father God. Lord, don't let us forget how great you are and what an opportunity we have to experience you. Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit would guide us, that we might